The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. Welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. As you know, it's our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas that we have explored and we will continue to explore are car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, dog bites, nursing home neglect, product liability, and many, many other circumstances of negligence and the serious injuries that often occur. And through our journey together, hopefully we have removed some of the mystery and uncertainty and will continue to do so and help you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. We are live today, and if you'd like to call in, love to hear you with any questions regarding personal injury at 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. Today, we have my amazing associate will be on the phone with us today. And we're also really fortunate to have my partner here, Rob Steinberg, to join us here and talk about issues that are really important and related to personal injury lawsuits, but not just personal injury lawsuits. It's really things that you need to know about from an estate planning standpoint and also from a planning standpoint of having documents that allow us to have other people act for you if you can't otherwise act. And Rob's going to go in details about that and really hoping that we can educate you in that process. We're so great and glad to be back here. Hopefully all of you had a wonderful holiday season. You had a wonderful New Year's. We are back. The weather is really cold. Right, Rob?
Very cold.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So Rob and I used to love this kind of weather because Rob and I actually grew up as kids together, and Rob was actually a phenomenal hockey player, but we'd go out and we'd love playing out in the cold. Now, Rob, I just run from the cold. I can't wait to get into the warm office. What have I become?
You've become me.
Well, that's really good. Did you have a nice holiday, Rob?
I did. And yourself?
I had a great holiday. I know my hockey team's actually been playing pretty well, the Rangers, of course, and Rob is a longtime fan of the Montreal Canadiens. They're not playing well this year, but he had a good run. You had a good run last year, Rob.
2021 playoffs were very good. The 2021-22 season has been forgettable.
Well, it's okay, Rob. You know, Rob, and that's why we have you on the show now, Rob, so we can talk about things that we could actually hopefully help to control versus the things that we sit there and think we could control that we have no control of. And if Rob is unhappy on the show, I don't believe he's going to pull an Antonio Brown and throw off his jacket and run out. Right, Rob? We're okay with that?
I'm going to try to behave today.
Okay, that's good. Well, we are live today, and one of the things that we really wanted to do was talk about several of these issues that are important. Now, do we have Amanda out there, by the way? Amanda?
I am here.
Well, Amanda, how are you today?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Very
I know
well.
You. I know you were a little under the weather today, Amanda, but we're so really glad to have you on the show. Without you, you know, we're really our listening audience really doesn't really feel like they're getting the full effect, you know?
Yes, and if I could, I would like to give a shout-out to my mom. It's her birthday today.
Oh, it's Elise Spinner's birthday. Well, happy birthday to you, Elise Spinner. You're really a wonderful person. We're really glad to have you out there, and we do hope that you'll be one of our listeners too, Elise. And it's really our privilege here to do that, Amanda. Thank you, Amanda, for pointing that out. We do also want to give a shout out to, we have one of our big listeners, Mike, out there. Mike always listens out there, and I think he has all the boys over in the place that he works, I think, listen too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so if you are listening and you do want to call in, please call into the studio. We'd love to talk to you. We do have our wonderful T-shirts from No Fault of Your Own. They are coming in, and I am really proud to say that the design of those T-shirts is from the man who's sitting across at the mic here. It's one of the things that he really always fascinated. I mean, I've known him forever, and he literally can actually make art and beautiful art. So when you get those T-shirts are actually going to, they're designed by Rob Steinberg, right, Rob?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Well, we're excited to have them. We can't wait to have them, Rob. And of course, Rob, if they get delivered and there's anything wrong with the artwork, Rob, you will let us know. So let's get back to business here today. You know, Rob, one of the things that I find really difficult is that a lot of times I'll have clients who have personal injuries and they don't have proper paperwork that they need to process litigation. And so as an example, I'll have situations where someone is really hurt badly. They themselves cannot make decisions when it comes to their health care, about starting litigation, you know, in some terrible situations, of course, we have wrongful death. We'll talk a little bit about that. But let's start out, Rob, with a person being involved in an accident and not being able to sort of make those decisions because they're not mentally or physically able to. So let's talk about that and tell a listening audience, Rob, what the context is that comes up in and what can people do about that?
Well, the context in which that comes up or arises is you'll be contacted by a family member or a friend. They know somebody that's been involved in an accident, and it may be because of injuries. You may have an unconscious plaintiff. You may have a plaintiff for any number of reasons, COVID too, where somebody can't even get into the hospital to see them. And basically, without that person signing on to a retainer agreement, without that person authorizing you to commence litigation on their behalf, you don't have an attorney doesn't have the right to commence the litigation. So there are documents that would allow for a family member, a relative, a trusted friend who could make personal decisions, property decisions, which would include commencing litigation on behalf of the principal. And that's something known as a power of attorney. In the context of medical or healthcare decisions, if the person is incapacitated or for whatever reason can't make an informed medical decision, New York state law authorizes a healthcare proxy designation, and that's something where a principal can designate an agent to make healthcare decisions for them when they're incapable of making an informed decision.
So let's break them down. So a healthcare proxy is for one purpose, if I'm correct, and a power of attorney would be for a different purpose. Is that correct?
Correct. The healthcare proxy is limited to making healthcare decisions on behalf of the principal. A power of attorney is the agent is authorized to handle various property and personal decisions. So where somebody is going to reside, signing contracts on that behalf, commencing litigation on that behalf, settling litigation on behalf of the principal. So got multiple aspects of the authority that you're giving to the to your agent, and the principal decides which powers or which authority they're going to give to their agents.
That's very interesting, Rob, that these documents obviously serve different purposes. Sometimes I have people call me up, Rob, and they'll be like, oh, well, I can make a decision, right, for the healthcare, and they'll have one on, or they'll have a healthcare proxy. And clearly, Rob, a person can't make a decision on someone's healthcare with a power of attorney in New York. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And someone can't make a decision on a person's property rights, starting litigation. on a healthcare proxy, right?
Correct. A healthcare proxy gives no authorization with respect to a person's finances, litigation, anything like that.
And so let's differentiate now between a will. So sometimes you'll hear a person say, well, I have a will, so I should be able to make decisions for that person, and they're maybe in a coma or they have a serious health problem. Does a will allow you to do anything for a person that's still living?
No, it doesn't. A will only takes effect when a person dies, and in order for that will to govern the disposition of the dying person's assets as well as the appointment of somebody to handle those assets, the person has to be dead, and the will has to be what we call probated in the surrogate's court of the county in which the person was residing at the time of their death.
That's great, Rob, that you broke that down, because a lot of times I'll get the calls and I'm trying to start litigation. I have to go through a personal injury. I have to go see a patient. I have to get someone to make a decision on something. And people don't understand the difference, and the critical need for it, folks. So we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to continue on with the great Rob Steinberg. He's not just my partner. He's my friend, but he's a tremendous attorney, and he's going to give us information I think that we all could use. See you on the other side. Well, welcome back to our program. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. And you're on our program from No Fault of Your Own. We are live today, folks, if you want to call in and speak to us about any personal injury questions. And we are talking today about related stuff regarding estate stuff. And it's related, and we'll talk to you in more detail, because there are times when you might be seriously hurt or hurt, and you cannot make decisions about your property or about your personal care, and you do need certain types of documents. You need to have them in place. It's critical. It doesn't really matter how old you are, and Rob and I will talk about that in a second. And call into the studio right now at 631-451-1039. It's 631-451-1039. If you do call in, you'll get one of our amazing T-shirts designed by my partner, Rob Steinberg, from No Fault of Your Own. They really are cool, I got to tell you, Rob. You do have a talent, I got to tell you.
And thank you.
I'm really glad that you stay with the law stuff here, Rob, but you really have a great, great art. In fact, and I have to say, and I'm going to brag on you a little bit, your grandfather, Rob, your mother's...
father.
Your mother's father, right, Rob, was a tremendous artist for Marvel.
Correct.
Okay? And he actually drew some of the things for the first time for Marvel? What did he draw? Comics.
Well, I don't know that he drew them for the first time, but he was involved heavily with Spider-Man, Thor, all the Marvel movies that you're seeing right now. At some point in his career, he drew those characters.
I mean, it's amazing stuff. And
wow.
Right? Isn't that something, Amanda?
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, really. And Rob, you know, if you would have kept any of that stuff, you know, if you would have checked to see where Grandpa had that stuff, I'm telling you, Rob, you'd be somewhere on an island right now drinking with an umbrella someplace.
I'm told that my mother threw out a first edition Superman comic at one point.
Oh, my God. And you know what? And what's your mom's first name? Marie, right?
Marie, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I guess she needed the space, Rob.
She did.
We do also want to make a shout out here to Sue, right? Rob's wife, because she puts up with her and me. And we do work long hours because we do try to help our clients and help our clients get justice. Rob does have two great kids too, and really love them. They're Rich and Samantha. So we say hello to you too, Rich and Samantha, and hope all is well, proud of all your accomplishments also. So, and let's say hi to Joel too. We can't forget about Joel Steinberg. No, not the Joel Steinberg you're thinking about, folks. This is a Joel Steinberg, wonderful man. Loves White Castle. He knows I love White Castle, so he comes in with his White Castle crave case. So let's get back now, Rob. I think we digressed. But before we do that, seriously, if you'd like to call us, please call. We are live here. Or if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. All of our consultations on personal injury cases Those are free consultations. And if you do retain us, it's all on a contingency. It doesn't cost you anything unless we make a recovery. And please listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. Rob, so if we can get back at the breakdown between some of these documents that are really necessary, a person to do a healthcare proxy or a power of attorney, is there an age requirement in order to do a document like that?
You have to be over the age of 18 in New York.
Okay. So if I'm over the age of 18, I guess I have to be competent. I have to kind of know, you know, I have to be not a person who's unable to know what I'm doing.
You need to understand the nature and consequences of the documents you're signing.
Fair enough. So if I'm over the age of 18, I would be able to go ahead and actually have these documents, a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. And I could also do a will. Is that correct?
That's correct. And just to clarify, you don't have to be over 18. You can be 18 or older.
Got it. Okay. So let's talk about first the healthcare proxy. And I can tell you, Rob, the context that I've had that come up. I've had situations where, terribly, somebody is in an accident. And unfortunately, Rob, they become incompetent. They're comatose. Or they may not be comatose, Rob, but they may not understand really what's going on. Okay. They may have a head injury. I do a lot of head injury cases. I've had situations, Rob, in medical malpractice where someone's been subjected to that. And unfortunately, again, they don't really understand the nature and extent of their actions. So now what happens is usually where it starts out, Rob, is the healthcare proxy becomes sort of the first thing that people really need. Right, Rob?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's because if I can't make my decisions, right? If I can't make them, Rob, and I don't have a healthcare proxy, what's the issue with that?
Well, the issue is that you may not have somebody that can make decisions for you, or you may have people that don't get along who, under New York's default provisions, New York has a law that went into effect because too many people were being hospitalized, were in medical situations where they couldn't make decisions for themselves, and they didn't have the healthcare proxy. So New York State has a law whereby they basically have a order of preference or priority for people to make medical decisions. And the problem that you often find with a client that does not have a healthcare proxy is they have children that don't get along. And if all the children under New York's default statute are entitled to make medical decisions, you may have hospitals and doctors that are getting conflicting instructions.
Well, that's really a good point. So what you're saying is there's a provision under the law, if you don't actually have one of these documents, that it will go down this list and ask questions of, but if someone has more than one child, then these children can be in conflict. And now the very thing that you probably wanted to avoid was this conflict and this communication issue with the hospital that's not clear. And now what they're subjected to is one child saying one thing, maybe another child saying another thing. And now essentially now maybe nothing happens, or maybe you don't get the care that you should be getting.
That's certainly a possibility. And the other thing is if this is going to be a long-term situation, one or more of the family members may need to go and petition the court to have a guardian appointed so that somebody is the mouthpiece to make medical decisions for mom, dad, or whoever the patient is.
See, I think it's critical for everyone to have them, Rob, because, you know, nobody makes a decision that one day I'm not going to be capable or competent, right? Nobody says I'm going to be in a car accident and now I'm not going to be able to make my medical decisions for myself.
Correct.
And I also think, right, don't you want to have someone making those decisions that you, again, feel like is the best person?
Right. Rather than letting a default statute govern who's going to make those decisions, most clients, if they had their choice, would want to be the one selecting the people that they want to be in charge of those decisions.
And so what would happen in order to do that is a person would have to execute one of these documents called a healthcare proxy. And I know, Rob, that you've prepared many of those over the years for many different people. Am I correct?
Correct.
And so is there a certain process that has to be done to execute those things? Because honestly, Rob, I get people, they call me up and they say, well, I looked on the internet and I saw something and it could be from any state. Is it just as simple as that, Rob, going on the internet and just picking something from across the country and using that? Or does New York have specific requirements?
New York has specific requirements, so you do want to get a New York form. Fortunately for most people, the requirements of signing it are not terribly burdensome or difficult. Typically, though, you'll have clients as part of their planning for other things. You know, a healthcare proxy you might be able to do on your own or with some assistance, but the documents that are typically signed at the same time that a client is doing that, which would be a power of attorney, a will, those are documents that you really should not be doing on your own. There are specific requirements for executing them, and if you don't do that, you're going to cause more problems for yourself and your family down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, Rob. You know, we certainly, if we could direct someone at times to, hey, you know what, you could just go to small claims, you don't need a lawyer, we try to do that. But there are times when you really do need a lawyer, Rob. And so, folks, if you're out there and you do need help with any of those documents, don't just sit back and say, you know what, wait for another day, because you never know when that day is going to come. And when that day comes, oftentimes you're not in a position to otherwise do it. So we really are glad. Hey, Amanda, you there?
I am.
Well, really, we're glad to have Amanda here and Rob here, and we're just hoping, folks, that we're giving you some information here that maybe you're not getting in other places. And as you know, we try to give you the real stuff, try not to blow smoke, and try to let you be empowered. So we will see you on the other side of the commercial break. It's great to have Rob and also Amanda here today as we talk about these great, important topics. Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, welcome back, everybody. So glad to have you here. We have my partner, Rob Steinberg, on in the studio, I should say. And we have our great associate, Amanda, out there. Hey, Amanda.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda. You had a question for Rob. I thought it was a really good question when we took the break. Why don't you ask him?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of wondering, for the listeners, I think it would be good to let them know, do you have any age that you suggest people be to draw up healthcare proxies and power of attorneys? I know that obviously they can be 18 and over, but do you have an age that you suggest?
There's not necessarily an age that I would suggest, Amanda. I think it's, you know, look, if you have, as a parent, if you have a child that's age 18 that's going away to college, one of the things that's not thought about is the parent should be pushing the child to sign a healthcare proxy, because something happens to the child while they're away at college. The healthcare providers may not necessarily be sharing information with mom and dad. So it's always good to have a healthcare proxy, especially if your children are going away to school out of state where they may not have these default statutes like New York does. So in that situation, certainly it would pay for an 18-year-old to have a healthcare proxy. As far as the other documents, I think as soon as somebody has a child, that's their most valuable asset. That's the time that you really should have a will. And unfortunately, doing what Ken and I have been doing for so long, you see younger and younger people that are suffering strokes, passing away unexpectedly. So, I would recommend that people start their planning as early as possible. But certainly once they've got a family and they've got children.
Well, Amanda, that's a great question. And I got to tell you, Amanda, you called into the radio today. So, Rob, what do you think? I think she should get a T-shirt from No Fault of Your Own. You got it, Amanda.
I'd love one.
Okay. Okay, man, that's good. But no, that's a really good question because, you know, the bottom line is this, right? We need these documents because they really help us at all ages. It's not just if you're really old. It's not if you're really young. And you never know what's going to happen. So these are for the rainy day. These are for scenarios that are the rainy day. Now, of course, we're probably all probably going to need some type of a power of attorney to deal with assets, and we'll talk about that in a second. But a document such as the one that you're talking about, a healthcare proxy, I've had people, Rob, sadly, you know, they're in the hospital, and now there's this dispute. Who's going to make the decision for this person who's in this terrible car accident? And that person can't make it, and then maybe there's some family dynamics, and that's kind of getting in the way, and you really should be the one that makes that decision. So really kind of take care of it. You know, I always tell people, take care of it now so you can make that decision, because there may come a time when you can't make that decision. If you are incompetent or unable, as Rob said, then you can't make it. I just had Rob a call just a couple of days ago from an old client of mine, and his father, who had a lawsuit, a case was just settled a couple of weeks ago, and sadly, his father died like a week after that. And he was calling me up because, as it turns out, his father was still married from like 50 years ago, although he hasn't literally been together with this person for 50 years. And one of the questions became, in this lawsuit, as to who's going to bring the action, who's going to commence the action, who has the right to commence the action, who has the right to bring it. And Rob, I know you talked about the power of attorney before, and I know I walked into your office and I said, Rob, what do you think about this? And immediately you said, well, is there a power of attorney? The client actually remembered from years ago, I think I had done for the father, I had done a healthcare proxy, and thinking that, well, that document could work. And in this case, Rob, the father had a lawsuit. The father's lawsuit obviously is not controlled by any of those documents now, the power of attorney or the healthcare proxy. That would get controlled by another document, a will, right?
Correct. Once you die, the power of attorney and the healthcare proxy die with you.
So let's assume in that case that the father did have a will, then obviously whatever he provided for in the will, and then there's certain rights of still a spouse, even if you're not divorced. But putting that aside, at least you could then provide for how you want your assets to pass, not how the government says otherwise they're going to pass, how the state law would say that, right?
Correct. If you have a will, your will is going to direct how your assets pass. If you die without a will, then the law of the state in which you are residing at the time of your death is going to govern the disposition of your assets.
Okay, so let's talk about serious accidents, Rob. I have had many serious accidents where I'm representing a client that was in a bad car accident, maybe a medical malpractice case. And what happens, Rob, is that I can't get a signature from that person because that person is not capable and not competent. Maybe they're in a coma. I've had cases terribly like that. I've had cases where people are elderly or at some point, unfortunately, they diminish and they're not able to. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do that. So tell me what document works for that now?
That's the power of attorney.
Okay. And so a person who is in a bad car accident, they're not expecting it, Rob. They're coming down the road, something terrible happens to them, and now it turns out that somebody was negligent. Somebody went through a red light, somebody hit them in the rear, someone hit them in a sidewalk. And this person, although by God's grace has not been killed, this person is physically or mentally unable to literally sign a retainer, a document to hire an attorney, right?
Correct.
So you're telling me that power of attorney in that situation would allow somebody else, that person, when they had completed it, before they were injured in that accident, it would allow that person to actually go forward with that litigation?
Assuming that the principal gave the authority to the agent to commence litigation, prosecute claims on behalf of the principal, then the power of attorney would authorize that person to hire an attorney and prosecute litigation.
You know, and that's critical, Rob, because that document, of course, is relatively inexpensive. Okay, right, Rob, as things go?
Yes.
And if it turned out that that person didn't have that, and I've had cases. Now, sometimes you'll have a case, Rob, where I'm representing someone, let's say with regard to an infant, and terribly they were subjected to some type of a situation where it was a birth injury and there's medical malpractice. That infant, of course, can't hire me. They can't sign a retainer, Rob. They couldn't have done a power of attorney. And that you can't help. You're going to have to get someone in the court to be appointed for as a guardian of that property and probably of that person. But you may not have it. May not be a minor, Rob, right? It could be someone over the age of 18 that could have been able to do a power of attorney, could have done that document. And had they done that power of attorney, that would have enabled them, given them the legal right, Rob, to go ahead and commence a lawsuit on behalf of that person who can't now act.
Correct. The power of attorney, again, provided that you've given the authority to your agent to prosecute claims on their behalf, you do have the authority with the power of attorney. So many times you see young folks that do not have a power of attorney, and in the absence of a power of attorney, unfortunately, loved ones are going to have to bring a guardianship proceeding in Supreme Court, which is time-consuming, it's expensive, and it could be avoided with a power of attorney, which, as you indicated, when you compare it to the cost of the guardianship proceeding, is very inexpensive.
See, that's great. That's great information, I think, Rob, because most people don't understand that there's such a difference between not only you appointing the person that you want in a power of attorney to make decisions about your property, but there are times when the cost is going to be prohibitive, maybe, or it's going to be a lot. Well, you're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to file for a proceeding. And then in addition to that, not only file for a proceeding, right, Rob? Once you are appointed by the court, you have to now on a yearly basis report to the court. Am I correct?
That's correct. If you are appointed the guardian through the guardianship court, the guardian does have to file annual accountings with the court. And that's going to continue until such time, if ever, as the guardianship terminates.
And with a power of attorney for a person that had been over the age of 18 who signed that, you never had that reporting requirement because you've made that decision. It doesn't go within the court system. And now you save the time. You now have the right person that you want. So, wow, what a big difference. And I think that's really important information. So we will see you on the other side as we continue on our program From No Fault to Your Own. Well, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. We're on our program From No Fault of Your Own, where we are exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. We are live today. Call in there at 631-451-1039. Get your beautiful From No Fault of Your Own t-shirts. And if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We'd be privileged to fight to get you justice. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We have free consultations on all our personal injury cases. We will come to you if you're in a medical facility. We will come to your home. Obviously, you can come to our offices. We have offices certainly in Patchogue, but all over Nassau and Suffolk County where we can meet you. And we want to make it as easy as possible for you. And please listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. We are back on, Rob, but one of the people, Rob, that I got to tell you is a great asset to our firm. Is Dana Tatura, right?
Yes.
And Dana has been amazing. I have to say about Dana, I was just talking to her recently. I know that she actually is planning on, I believe she's going to make it into the movie business big or on stage someplace.
We certainly hope so.
She's amazingly talented, okay? Now, she is Rob's niece, but I wouldn't be saying if I didn't mean it. So, Dana, if you're out there, Dana, just go for your dreams, Dana. We're believing, okay? And if you or anybody out there wants to find a great actress here locally, she's really great. I mean that when I say that. And she talk with all kinds of accents, too. I wish I had that, Rob. That'd be good, actually, to be able to go try cases in different parts of the country.
She's got a talent.
Right? If I went into a different part of the world, Rob, right, I could maybe, I don't know, go to Great Britain and try a case. Dana will have to train me. So let's get back to what we were talking about. And, you know, Amanda, one of the things that we run into sometimes is people just not having these documents done. And now what happens is it holds up our personal injury cases, right?
Absolutely. We get a lot of people that come to us for medical malpractice cases, and unfortunately they don't have power of attorneys, and it slows the process. You know, we have to apply for letters with them, and we are looking at statute issues sometimes. So it's definitely really important if people can have those documents completed, obviously, beforehand, then it's a huge help.
And so the power of attorney, as we know, is good. A person who's over the age of 18, who's mentally competent, is able to do one. We also know that a will, again, a person 18 or over, and I said over the age of 18 before. I made that mistake again, Rob.
You caught yourself.
Okay, but it's 18 years of age or older to do a power of attorney, 18 age years or older to do a will, and the same thing for a healthcare proxy. Because we run into these problems, and it's sad because, you know, when a person needs something done, Rob, whether it's a healthcare proxy, okay, I want to make healthcare decisions, and there's something oftentimes unexpected, and they don't have these documents done. I really encourage people to get them done. Please get them done, and you sort of put them in the bank, okay? So you take them, you have them done, and, you know, it's really an important thing to have. Don't push it off. Don't put it off. I always, Rob, with all my personal injury clients, and you know that, Rob, it's an opportunity that I tell them. I said, do you have this done? And I try to explain to them that it's really so, when you look at it, so important, and it's relatively inexpensive. But it's going to save you a lot of agita, a lot of problems down the line. Now, let's just flip back to the power of attorney again, Rob. So a person who has this power of attorney, I think you said, Rob, they can basically put it in there, all the rights they want to give someone and all the things that a person can do for them, or they can limit that if they wanted to, correct?
Correct. New York has a statutory form of power of attorney that has a set list of powers. You can modify those powers to any extent that you want to. And we typically will recommend to clients that they don't sit there and cherry pick the powers, because unfortunately what happens is if you get too cute with that, saying, well, I don't have any litigation, I'm never going to have any litigation, so I'm not going to give my agent the authority to prosecute any litigation on my behalf, you become incapacitated and there's a lawsuit there and you decided that you were going to be cute and not give that power. So I typically will try to encourage clients, unless there's a real strong reason not to include all the statutory powers.
I mean, I think that's a great idea, Rob. And like, either you trust somebody who you're naming or you don't trust them. And if you don't trust them, don't name them in the first place. But if you do trust them, you know, ultimately give them as many powers as they can have so that they can do the things that you trust that you would want. And you're now putting someone else in that spot. But it's, again, it's a person that you really have experience with, whether it's a family member or a friend. And I think that's really, really good idea. And on the, let's go back to the will situation. And so, you know, we have situations where, unfortunately, Rob, terrible things happen. And, you know, you'll have somebody, they'll be in an accident, and they were over the age of 18, and terribly, terribly, they die. And now you don't have a will. And so we have to commence litigation, Rob, and we can't just have a family member just file a lawsuit, right, if there's no will, Rob, by not doing anything, right? I mean, we can't just automatically say we're going to make this person the person in charge, right? We have to then go to court.
Well, just to make sure we're clear here, whether you have a will or you don't have a will, you still have to go to surrogates court. With a will, you're going to probate the will, which will result in the appointment of an executor who will be the person that's now in charge of your estate, including the decision as to whether to prosecute or continue with litigation. In the case of somebody that dies without a will, you have to bring what's known as an administration proceeding in surrogates court. The problem with that is you're leaving it to New York law to dictate which person is potentially going to be in charge of your estate, as opposed to a will where you can designate the person that you want. And unfortunately, you see some situations where the wrong person gets to be the administrator of the estate because somebody didn't have a will.
Thank you, Rob. That was a good point and clarified that. Because if you don't have a will, then you have a lot less control over the person who's going to do it. You have also, now usually it's going to take you more time because you got to sort of sort some of this stuff out. And in litigation, sometimes we don't have a lot of time. And also in litigation, which obviously, sadly, if that you're the person who died, you're not around to do it anymore. Who would you want the person to be? You'd want the person that you would want to choose, not what a court would want. And sometimes people come out of the ether, Rob, or they come out of the all kinds of the bushes, so to speak, and they come in, and now all of a sudden now they want to be the person in charge. And it creates another fight, Rob. It creates sometimes a family fight where really it's not the person you would have wanted.
Correct. You often see, unfortunately, too many times where there are children that don't bother with mom or dad. Mom or dad gets injured or dies, and now these children come out of the woodwork. And sometimes, even though they wanted nothing to do with mom or dad doesn't have a will, and now they're petitioning to be in charge of mom or dad's estate.
So. Yeah, and it's a shame when you get to that. So you obviously have the sadness of a loss of somebody. But now you've sort of made it more difficult, too. The whole process becomes difficult. So I think a person, each one of us, should want to have a will because we should want to make it easier on our loved ones if something happened unexpected. And, of course, a will's good, Rob. It's good forever, right? If you don't have to change it if it has everything you want in it to start, right?
That's correct. As long as you're not changing the people that you want to benefit, a will can last for, you can have one will that lasts for your entire life and will serve your purposes. One other point towards the personal injury context, a will also is going to allow any settlement or verdict that's obtained in that personal injury action. That's going to basically dictate how the money or from that settlement or the verdict are going to be distributed. Whereas if you die without a will, New York law is going to dictate who shares in that PI settlement or verdict.
Great point. That's important, folks. You want to make sure, God forbid, again, you're in a place where the unthinkable happens and you go home to be with the Lord. You certainly want to make sure that however you wanted to divide whatever those assets are, it would go that way. And so, Rob, that's a really good point, you know, and I think if we take care of these documents, we put them in place, then you have peace of mind and you don't have to do them again if you don't change anything. But don't be in a spot where you come to us and now, you know, we have to really do calisthenics legally. All right. Listen, we'll see you on the other side. Be safe. We'll see you next week, I should say. Be safe.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.